All right, Erev Tov to everyone. It's nice to see everyone again. This is part five of our series in Emunah. God's...
There's a board meeting, so I think there's some...
Yeah, it's all right.
No, there's some guys down out here.
Because... And then I understand God's names and attributes. We weren't on the schedule tonight. I only added it because it's been such a long time since I gave the shiur. I have to get back in the groove. But the thing is that however many people come, the hundreds who listen on the internet... I'm averaging like 400 or 500 people listening afterwards. So I may just start doing this in my dining room alone. And
don't do that.
I was sponsored tonight, as always, by Becky Navikatz, Le'ilu Nishmas Yonah ben Reb Aryeh Leib, and of course, learn Le'ilu Nishmas, my father as well. Just 10 days without him. All right. God's names and attributes. So an agnostic believes that nothing can be known with any certainty about God. So suffice it to say that practicing Jews are not agnostics, notwithstanding that we believe that full and ultimate comprehension about God is beyond the intellectual capacity of man. Nonetheless, it's a fundamental principle of the Torah that God is knowable, so to speak, to some extent, has to be. Knowable enough to give us guidance, knowable enough that we should understand that he takes an interest in the affairs of mankind, that he even intervenes in the affairs of mankind when he deems it appropriate or necessary, and knowable enough that he can communicate his desires to man, and man, if man is a worthy receptacle, is able to understand, ascertain those desires. And of course, knowable enough that the very first mitzvah recorded in the Rambam's Mishneh Torah is to know of God's existence, Leida Sheyesh Shom Eloka, to know of God's existence. We can't know of God's existence unless we know something about God. And we can't know how we're supposed to live if we don't know something about God also. So one way we know of God's existence is through his deeds. But to know of God himself requires an understanding of his names and his attributes. So from his names, we learn something about his essence. Something, of course, not everything. Even if his essence is ultimately unknowable. And from his attributes, we learn the means through which he interacts with man. So what are they? We'll start with the names. The Rambam says in the sixth parak of Hilchos Yesod HaTorah, Halacha Aleph, Kol ha-ma'abed shemen ha-shemas ha-kadoshim ha-tahorim she-nikra b'hem ha-kadosh baruch hu, whoever destroys one of the names of God, the holy pure names by which God is known, receives malkos, lokim in ha-tor, it's a chi of malkos, to erase the shem Hashem. She-harehu omer b'vodas kochovim v'ibatem es-shemo min ha-makom ahu, lo sasun kein la-shem elokechem. At the beginning of Parshas Re'eh, the Torah says that we should cause the destruction of the names, like the altars, the temples, and even the names of the idolatrous gods, v'ibatem eshumam min ha-makom ahu, but lo sasun kem Hashem Elokechem. We can't do that to God. So Halacha Beis v'shiva shemos heim. There's seven names of God. The first, Hashem Anichtav, Yud Hey Vav, and then Hey, Shem HaMeforosh, the explicit name of God. We call the ineffable name of God because we don't pronounce it. Oh, Hanichtav, the name that's written, we pronounce the Shem Hashem, Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, so the Shem Adnus itself is another Shem of God. Kel, Eloka, Elokim, Elokei, Shakai, Shindalad Yud, and Svakos. Sadi Vez Aleph Vav Tuf. Those are the seven names of God, according to the Rambam. Kolam Ochek Afilo Os Achas Mishuva Elu Loke. If there's a word written as a reference to God, Elokim, Shakai, and a person erases even one letter, that is a Chi of Malkos. Halocha Hey, Shara Kinuyim Shemeshamchim Bemek Esakodesh Baruch Hu. The other expressions, I mean, a kinui is a nickname, but you can't really call say God has a nickname. So the other expressions that are used as praises of God, kigon chanun, verachum, God is gracious, compassionate, gadol, great, gibor, mighty, nora, awesome, neman, faithful, kana, zealous, chazak, strong, v'kayotze bohen, and others like it. So those are really adjectives more than the names, even though they're used as references to God. So therefore, there's no iser to erase them. Now, there's even an outstanding question. I think I took this up on a Friday night. I'll try to check. If not, maybe I'll do it in the coming months. Whether you can erase a divine name in a foreign tongue like God. Can you erase the word God, G-O-D? So, of course, that leaves many people to write God's name with a dash. I mean, I was trained to do that when I was young. You know, some poskim argue, since there's no halachic status to a foreign language like English, a dash in place of an O is the same thing as an O, because it's still a reference to God. But now you're referencing God with a dash instead of an O, be the same thing. But nonetheless, people do it out of respect. I do it myself. Once had a non-Jew write to me, why do I not write the O in God? Interesting. Mechaber in Simon Hay in Aruch Chaim includes definitions of the basic names of God, helpful to us, since God's names are features in Tefillah, in Brachos. So Mechaber says in Simon Hay, Yechavim bevrachos perish amilos, that a person who's making a bracha should have in mind, concentrate on the meaning of the words. Kishayaskir Hashem, it seems obvious to us, but there are two extremes. One, of course, is to say the words with any kavana, bane of man. And the other is to say the words with kavanas that are so esoteric that you lose sight of the pashup shot. It's enough to have the mind the simple meaning of the words. Baruch atah Hashem, Elokim Echad, Hamotzi Lechem Min Haaretz. But of course, each word has a particular meaning. So, Kishayaskir Hashem, when you mention God's name, Yechavim Perish Kriyaso Be'adnus, Shehu Adon HaKol. The name, the name we use to enunciate the Shem Hashem, the Shem Alf Dal Nun Yud, that's Adon HaKol, the master of everything. But so you have that in mind, how it's read, and also have in mind Yichavim B'Ksivaso, how it's written. But Yud Hey, what's Yud Hey? Yud Kei Vav Kei, Shehoya Vahove V'Yiye. God was, is, and will be. We'll discuss it in a moment. Uva Haskiro Elokim. When you say Elokim or Elokeinu. Yichavein, you have in mind, Shehu Takif, that God is powerful, Bal HaYecholas, really omnipotent, able to do anything, Uval HaKochos Kulam, he is the master of all different types of powers of might. So what are the names? What should we be thinking about when we counted these names? What do they teach us about God? So what are the names? What are names? What are names? Names are definitions. Names of points of reference. I think it's Rav Hirsch who writes, Kedarko Bakodesh, that a shame, a name, is a shum. It's the shum, it's the there of a person, or a thing, or an entity. It's the way we identify them, the way we understand them. That's a shame. A child is given a name, an adult has a name. We say that name, we think of the individual. We think of every aspect of the individual, but that becomes the point of reference. All right, let's take the first name, that's even though the Rambam has a different order, the first name we encounter in the Torah, which is Elohim, Bereishis Bara Elohim. It's the name by which the nations of the world relate to God in the initial instance, right? Think about it. Allah is Elohim. In fact, I think in Arabic, it's written out, Aleph Lamed Lamed Hey. Allah is Elohim, that's the word. It means God. It's God is all. As a matter of fact, we should know of it, but Allahu Akbar, Akbar means Kabir. It means Elohim Kabir, powerful God. God is great, God is mighty. Allah, so much of Arabic, I'm telling you, is stolen from the Hebrew like they tried to steal Eretz Yisrael from us. I mean, Al-Quds is Yerushalayim. What's Al-Quds? Quds is Kodesh, the holy. It's God as all-powerful. In short, Elohim is God as creator and the God of nature. So really, any powerful being, any Bala Yecholas, is referred to as such. That's what we find in the Torah, that a judge is called Elohim. Adho Elohim Yavo Dvar Shnehem. You bring the matter to the powerful ones. At the end of Parshas Bereishis, the Torah refers to the Bneho Elohim, who brutalized women and others in ancient times. And even entities to which people falsely ascribe powers. Lo Yelcha Elohim Acherim Al Panoi. So Elohim in that sense means the all-powerful, what's perceived as powerful. When it's a reference to God, we say Elohim, but it's the same word. Notice that's a transferable term. That's a term that's used in many different contexts. The Shem Hashem is not like that. Yud-ke vav-ke is not going to be used. We'll never say that you shouldn't have like a Yud-ke vav-ke acher. Lo shachar l'keil acher, all right, Elohim acher, leil acher rather, or Elohim acherim. You're not going to have the Shem Hashem. It's an equivocal term in the sense it lends itself to different uses. So the name Elohim is in plural, Yud Mem ending, Harav says, because it refers to an amalgam of powers that are all combined in one entity. I quote from Rav Avinir's work now, which is our basic text. Thank you for bringing it. Bala kachot kulam, the one who has all the powers, who has sikum vashoresh shokola kachot. It's the sum total and the source. God is the source of all powers. Indeed, God is the one source of all powers. So it's an interesting term, Elohim. It sounds plural, but note the pasuk, Bereishis bara Elohim. The singular, the verb is singular, not baru Elohim, and not bara Eloka. It's singular, bara Elohim, because the central point of Judaism is that the one God is the source of all power, the source of the universe and the source of all nature. So all the disparate elements that exist in our world are really combined in that one source. That is to say, God is omnipotent. That is not to say that we attribute to God the impossible. The old parlor questions that exercise philosophers for centuries. Can God make a rock so heavy that he can't lift it? I know you've dealt with this, David. Can God make a rock so heavy that he can't lift it? Because if he can but can't lift it, it means he can't do everything. And if he can't make such a rock, then he's not omnipotent. Or can God duplicate himself? Questions like that. So all these reflect a distorted notion of God. We don't say God is Superman from a human perspective. God is beyond Superman. So the questions are semantic teasers, but they're not real philosophical challenges to the way we understand God. Rama says this explicitly in Mohar. We don't attribute to God the impossible or the contradictory. God is Baal HaYecholet, but we're not going to engage in riddles to try to minimize God's omnipotence. Elohim is also the name of God used to denote some activity in the universe or some relationship to man. Elokeinu, Elokei Avoseinu, Elokei Yisrael, Elokei Haaretz. The greatest divine force in the world is the Jewish people. That's the primary vehicle through which God's goodness and bounty is provided the world. And especially the people of Israel when we are in the land of Israel. So that's Elohim. It's really the first means by which we recognize God. Bereishis bara Elohim. It's the name used in creation. Vayomer Elohim again and again. In fact, in the first parak, you don't find the Shem Hashem mentioned at all. It's only the Shem Elohim. If I remember correctly, Elohim in Gematria is Hateva, nature, meaning God is the source of nature. The second is the Shem Hashem. The second major name of God, the Shem Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, the ineffable name of God. Like the Mechaber said, Shaho Yehovah V'yiyeh. Ho Yehovah V'yiyeh means that God is beyond time and space, that God is transcendent. So note the difference in the names right away. This God is essentially unknowable, unreachable. It's a God that's beyond our existence. This is why we never enunciate the name, that name, Hashem Hashem. We can relate to God as creator because we can see his creation. but we cannot fully relate to a God who is beyond us, non-physical. So this name really is God's essence, so to speak. As we cannot conceive his essence, so mentioning this name would be an act of over-familiarity on our part, and therefore really arrogance. On Yom Kippurim, the Kohen Gadol mentions this name a number of times. Some maintain the Kohen Gadol enunciated even a longer ineffable name of God, 42 letters, 72 letters, the same basic idea, because that's when God's presence is most felt, the holiest, most sublime moment of the year, in the holiest and most sublime place that we have on earth. But nonetheless, the Shem Hashem really remains beyond it. It's a reference. And what's Hashem? Hashem is the name. We're so removed from even understanding God's essence, so we just refer to God in that context as the name. So Rav writes that Elohim signifies that there is a universe and that God controls it. Yudke Vavke signifies that God is the root of all existence. And that's something different. God is the only real and necessary existence. And because of him, everything we see around us exists, but is contingent on his existence. Let the Rambam speak for himself. The beginning of Hilchos Yesodei HaTorah, Perek Aleph, Halacha Beis, Im Yala Al Hadas, Shu Eino Matsui, Ein Dover Acher Yecholi Matzos. If we would entertain the thought that God does not exist, nothing else would exist. He's the only necessary existence. And Halacha Gimel, the end, Shekol HaNimtzaim Tzrichim Lo. Everything in existence, everything created, needs him. V'hu Baruch Hu Eino Tzarich Lohem V'lo Le'echad Mehem. And God doesn't need anything, any of us, anything in the universe. L'fichach Ein Amitasok Amitas Echad Mehem. His reality, his existence, his truth, is unique to him. It's not dependent on anything else that exists. So the perspective of this name, Hashem, God is incomparable. And you find references scattered throughout the Tanakh. Yirmiyahu says, Perek Yud, Me'ein kamoch Hashem, there's nothing like you, God. Gadol ata, you are great. V'gadol shimcha b'gvura, your name is great in its strength. Or in Divrei Hayamim, Hashem ein kamocha, God, there's nothing like you. V'ein Elokim zulascha, there's no power, there's no Lord but you. B'chol asher shamanu b'ozneinu, from anything we've heard with our ears. There is no entity to which God is alike or God can be compared. That's why I said before again, we never use the Shem Hashem in any other context, unlike all the other names, that will, except for Meir Shakai. I guess you could find the use for it, but all the other names are used in other contexts as well and become chol. By definition, the Shem Hashem can never be chol. This name also implies that God is incorporeal and that God transcends time. As he created matter, so he's beyond matter. As he created time, so he is not bound by time. To be placed in the space-time continuum would be inherently limiting to God, like all his creatures are so limited. So it can't happen. Now this is related to another name, so to speak, when at the beginning of Paragimel, Parashat Shmos, Moshe asks God, what's his name? They'll ask, Mashmo, Mor Mar Lehem. So he's first told, Ekyeh Asher Ekyeh. So Ekyeh means I will be, but that's a shame. God is asked by Moshe, what shall I tell him your name is? And God says, Ekyeh Asher Ekyeh. Meaning, it's, again, the English is very awkward. I will be what I will be, but it means Ein Sof, Me'ever Lakol. I'm infinite, beyond everything. Rav explains that God was telling Moshe in context, I'm not just a past God, a God of the past, shrouded in history, but I'm a present and future God as well. Rashi says that, Imo Nochi Bitsoro, I'll be with them in the future also. So, Ekyasher Ekyashem, Hoyahova V'yiyah, means not only that I created and I'm past and I transcend existence, but I will exist forever. That's Hashem Yimloch Li'olam Voed. That's this name. So if in fact God transcends space and time, so how do we say that the Shechina, for example, the divine presence, rests in a certain place? Eretz Yisrael, the Beis HaMikdash, and a minyan, a shul, people learning Torah, etc. So these are twofold references. We say the Shechinah, that God's presence rests in a certain place. So Mechilta says it means that God wants to bestow special honor on a place. And so it's used in that context. Beginning of Parshas B'Shalach, V'Hashem Alech Lefnem Yomom Be'amud Anon, God went before them by day by a pillar of a cloud, Amud Eish Balayla. So Mechilta says, Kach Hodek HaRish Baruch Hu Chibasim Shal Yisrael Umos Ha'olam. This is how God conveyed, made known, to his love of Israel to the nations of the world. Sheyu Nogim Imahem B'Chavod. So the nations of the world shall relate to us in honor as well. So it didn't quite work out that way. It's not if they don't show us kavod. Instead of showing us kavod as they should, they just try to murder us in a variety of strange and painful ways. Nothing has changed. But the bottom line is, Hashem olech lifnehem yomom be'amud anon. So what does it mean God went before us? It means God bestowed honor on Israel, so it should be noticeable to others that God is our leader. Or it means that God's actions are most visible or most noticeable in a certain place, like the aforementioned places, Eretz Yisrael, the Beis HaMikdash, etc. And all of them, Eretz Yisrael, Tomer Eini Hashem Elokecha B'Mereish Hashana V'Achashana, God's eyes are always on it. The Beis HaMikdash, the Shechina is always there. You know, all the miracles in the Beis HaMikdash, Chazal relate in the Mishnah Avos, in the Gemara and Yoma, the daily miracles that took place, that people should see this is a different place. That's what it means that God's presence is there. Again, it's not a physical term, although from our perspective, it has a physical manifestation through the miracles that take place. Thus, Rav Sajigon writes in Maimer Beis, in Sefer Munos Vadeos, V'zeh asher hanevi'im omrim shu bashamayim. When the prophets say that God is in heaven, it's not a locus that God is there. You know, children are taught that as well. Where's God? In heaven. But God's also on earth. So where is God? What does it mean God's in heaven? It means al derech ha-godol ve-ha-kavod. It's an expression of greatness and glory. Because the heavens are so distant from us. They just seem so unreachable, so exalted. So it's a reference to God. It's not a geographical location of God. V'chein ha-maimer, I'm continuing up Sajigon. V'chein ha-maimer k'shu shochein b'veis ha-mikdosh. When the Pasuk says that God dwells in the Mishkan, the Beis HaMikdash, V'shachanti b'soch b'nei Yisrael, or Hashem shochein b'tzion, Haftarah for Shabbat Shuvah, from the a few psukim from Yoel Hanavi, Kol zeh lahagdil hamakom ahuv ha'yeshus. All this is designed to magnify that particular place and that entity itself, meaning the Beis HaMikdash, Eretz Yisrael, etc. V'ala zman, lo yitachen shiyeh lebore zman, mipnei shu bore kol zman. It makes no sense to say that God, since God created time, that He Himself is subject to time. He transcends time. That's one of the pshatim in Bereishis Bara Elokim. Bereishis means in the beginning, right? But Bereishis Bara Elokim, God created the beginning, meaning God created time also. Is it easy for us to understand this? No, not in the least, because we live in time, we live in space. So for us to try to conjure an entity that's beyond time and space is really beyond us. Einstein struggled with it, Alachas Kama Vakama will struggle with it. Of course, God is the Kadmon. That's how we relate to God in time. Kadmon, meaning He's first, He's original existence, everything came after that. And finally, these two primary names, we say that Elohim is the Midas HaDin, the attribute of justice, and Hashem, the Shem Hashem, is the Midas HaRachamim, the attribute of mercy. So we can discuss this for hours as well, but it should be more understandable now with the introduction. Just like there's an order in creation, Bereishis Bara Elokim, so too there's an order in human affairs. Any breach in that order requires rectification. That's what's known as din. Just like in the physical world, every action has a reaction. Whatever you do has a consequence. matter always exists, but it just has to shift form. It's the same thing in the spiritual world, in the moral world. There's a natural reaction to any activity. So therefore, that is din. But just like the Shem Hashem transcends this world, so too Rachamim transcends this world also. Mercy, it's a different dimension. Mercy is not inherent in nature. Well, obviously not. Mercy is not inherent in nature. Nature is cold. Nature is cruel. Nature responds only to physical phenomena. That really is the teva. That's the midas hadin. But to transcend it, who has the capability of exercising rachamim? HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Who else? Me and you, and him and her. Because mahu nikaracham afatah yerachum. Just like God has the ability to transcend nature itself and act with rachamim, so too the human being does also. Ultimately though, the Shem Hashem, Hashem is beyond us. That's the pasuk, one of the last nevuos we have from Malachi. Haftar v'chavas ha'gadol, kini Hashem lo shanisi, v'atem ben Yaakov lo chlisem. I am God, lo shanisi, I am unchanged. It's actually one of the most comforting statements in all of Tanakh. Just like Hashem is permanent and unchanging and indestructible and transcendent, so too is Klal Yisrael, because God, v'chasdo ha'gadol, has linked us to Him. Ki ani Hashem lo shanisi. Just like I, God, am unchanging, so to Atem b'nei Yaakov lo chlisem. You, the children of Yaakov, cannot be destroyed. Now, those are two basic names we encounter most of the time. The other names add nuances to these basic ideas. So, mentioned earlier, the Shem Adnus, by which the Shem Hashem is enunciated in our world, Aleph, Dalet, Nun, Yud, the Shem Adnus, that's the name used to pronounce the Shema Mefarosh. It's God as Master, Adon Olam, Asher Malach. God is the Master whose kingship we accept upon ourselves. So for us, whenever we're davening, that becomes the most common reference we have to God. In the Torah and in the Tefillah, we say the Shem Adnus as a euphemism for the Shem Hashem. And in its own right, it's really the name of Kabbalah or Malchus Shemayim. We accept the yoke of God's kingship. What are we accepting? We're accepting. We're Avodim, and He's the Adon. He's the Master. So again, we couldn't say the Shem Hashem in davening or in the Torah, because that God is distant. That God is transcendent. So we use a reference. We change the terms almost, and use a reference to that Shem Hashem, the Shem HaMeforosh, through the Shem Adnus, which brings God much closer to us as Malkeinu. I should note, you take the Shem Hashem Yudke Vavke, and I read that there are 12 different types of vowelization that exist with that name. Sometimes you'll find, for example, Hashem Elokim in the Navi. You don't find this in the Torah, but in the Navi, and the Shem Hashem Yudke Vavke is spelled out, vowed, as if it's the Shem Hashem. But it's read as Elohim. So the 12 different ways that that can be done. Next, like the Rambam said, you have Kael, Aleph Lamed. So Harav explains this is the name of Chesed, Kael, pure Chesed. Why should that be? He doesn't elaborate. It's harder to understand. At its root, it refers to power. Michamocha bo'elim Hashem. Who is like you among the powerful? So again, El itself is not always a reference to God. It's a reference to any type of power. Los tishtachavela el acher. Or like I said, michamocha bo'elim. But it must mean that the all-powerful are the ones who are in a position to bestow ultimate chesed b'chinam. Chesed without any strings attached, without any expectations. Only an El can do that. Both an El as a human being and lahavdil Kael as HaKadosh Baruch Hu. All right, Shakai, the Ram mentioned as well, Shin Dalet Yud. We'll come to this in a few weeks at the beginning of Parshas Vayera. Vayera El Avraham El Yitzchak El Yaakov B'Kael Shakai. God says to Moshe, I made myself known. I appeared to the Avos B'Kael Shakai. Ushmi Hashem lo nodati lohem. I did not make known to them my name Hashem. Of course, it's very strange. It became one of the most infamous psukim for the Bible critics, because you see in Bereishis, many times the Shem Hashem is mentioned. V'yomer Hashem al Avram, lech lecha me'artzecha. So what does it mean, lo nodati lehem? There's a lot of discussion this in Gemara, the Rashi, the Ramban, and others. But it means very simply, I mean, it's not so simple, you have to know what you're talking about, you have to know what the psukim mean. It means that they didn't see the God of transcendence, they only saw the God who provides. Meaning, Shem Hashem, as God relates to Yehovah Yiyah, they did not see. Rashi says here, Hiftachtim avtachos, I made them promises, uvekulon amarti lehem ani kel shakai. All God said to them is, I am the God who can provide, who can make that happen. But they never saw the fulfillment of the promises. Like God said to Moshe, Moshe, you will be able to, see the fulfillment of that. So the Gemara elaborates, what Shakai, Smar Chagiga, Daf Yud Beis Amud Aleph, Anihu Sha'amarti La'olam, Dai. I am the one who said to the world, enough. Meaning, creation stops at a certain point, now this suffices for the provision of all of man's needs, and we have to invest the world with some spirituality as well. So that's Kel Shakai, that's what the Avos saw. God made promises, and they saw that God is the one who can fulfill those promises, because He said enough to the world. The world is finished. Anihu Shemati Olam Dai means that the world has boundaries. It has formula. It has parameters by which it is governed. It is not haphazard. And that's the idea God conveyed to Moshe in Va'era as well. So too, the world of man has the same boundaries and formula and parameters by which it is governed. We speak of the laws of nature, and we study them like the scientists, the physicists. Oh, we speak of the laws of man also, the spiritual laws, and that's what's studied by the metaphysicians or by the Talmidei Chachamim. Finally, in this area, we have Tzvakos. And maybe you find a few times in the Torah, more than a Nevi'im, Kadosh, 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 Hashem, Tzvakos, Melo Cholart Kvodo. What are Tzvakos? Hosts. God is Hashem Tzvakos. He's the Lord of hosts. Who the Tzivos Hashem? The Baba Chibi Rebbe made it famous. Tzivos Hashem is one of their organizations. I think the children's organizations, Tzivos Hashem. Tzivos Hashem of the Jewish people. So Hashem Tzvakos means the God of the army. God is perceived here as a master of an army. His army? Who's his army? The army of Klal Yisrael. Gemara says in Shavuos Daf Lamed Hei Amud Beis, L'nikra Tzvakos El Hashem Yisrael. God is called Hashem Tzvakos only because of the Jewish people. Rabbi Yossi's opinion that this name can be erased is not followed. Rama says it can't be erased, but nonetheless, we are the ones who carry God's message to the world. Are there other names and other references also to God? The Rama mentions some of them. Of course, our most common reference to God, the way we always refer to God, colloquially, is Hashem, just the name. But God is also known as Hamakom, the place, the omnipresent. Lo olam mikomo, mikomo shel olam. God is not in the world, which is of course limiting. The world is really in Him. That's maximizing God. And of course, you know, a number of people came to me in the last week explaining Hamakom Minachem Eschem and many different pshatim why Hamakom is used there. But Hamakom is a totality. It means in the totality of God's world, there is comfort as well. It's everything. Humikamo shel olam. I saw before, if each letter of Yud Kei Vav Kei is squared, the Yud, the Hey, the Vav, and the Hey, that equals 186, which is Hamakom in Gematria. What does that mean? I don't know. No, it has to mean something. But more importantly, what's Hamakom Leitatar Panui Mine? It means there's no place in the universe without God's presence. It's impossible to conceive of a place in the universe in which God's presence is not manifest, like we quoted the Rambam earlier. Everything in existence is dependent for its existence on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hey, That's another reference to God. HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What's HaKadosh Baruch Hu? It's the Holy. Blessed is He. So God is holy and blessed. What does holy mean? Holy Jews. What does holy mean? Holy means removed. It means removed from the material aspects of the universe. And in reference to God, it means God is removed. His holiness is extant in every realm. We say in Kedusha Desidra, God is holy in the heavens, in our universe, and in time forever. So Vikara Zel Zevi Amar, the praise of the angels to each other, is Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. God is holy in these three different realms. Hashem Tzvakos, the Lord of hosts. Milo Chol Ha'aretz Kvodo. The universe is filled with His glory. So notice there's a bit of a conflict between the first and second parts of the Pasuk. Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh means that God is transcendent. He's beyond this realm, beyond everything. He's above and beyond. But Milo Chol Ha'aretz Kvodo means God is also imminent. He's very close to us. He's felt everywhere. So that's a paradox from a human perspective, how an entity can be far removed and yet feel very close to us as well. We live with that paradox even in our own lives. You can have someone who's gone but still close. But of course, that's the reference to Hashem as Kadosh, and He's also blessed. He's Baruch Hu. How is God blessed? It's actually a very important point, because when we say Baruch Atah Hashem, Baruch Atah, you are blessed. What does that mean, you are blessed? And who are we to say it? So the Rishonim explain already that Baruch means, Baruch Atah means that you are Mekor HaBrachot. You are the source of all blessings, the source of all good. So we say Baruch Atah Hashem, we say Hashem, Hashem HaFarash, HaYahoviyah, Baruch Atah, you are the Mekor HaBrachot, the source of all blessings. And finally, from in this context, there's another reference to God that Harav mentions here. We say at the end of Yishtabach that God is Cheolamim. Cheolamim, the life, literally the lives of the universe, means that God is the animating spirit of the universe. Note how we say Cheolamim, Melech Keol, Cheolamim, that God is a king, He is Keol, powerful. Or the bestower of chesed, as the Rav understood it, chei ha'olamim. We say chei ha'olamim is a big dispute amongst the Rishonim whether we should ever say chei ha'olamim, the life of the universe, because that the latter implies that God's existence is somehow apart from His essence. Chei ha'olamim, that He's the life of the world, meaning there's a world and He's the life of that world. That can't be. Chei ha'olamim means He's the animating spirit. He's what gives life to the universe. God's existence cannot be apart from His essence, just like His knowledge cannot be apart from His essence. Just to bring it to our context, we're human beings, we have minds, but we're not going to say we and our knowledge are one and the same. They're not. Knowledge is outside of us and we internalize it. That's not God. Ki lo machshosai machshoseichem. God's epistemology, God's method of thinking is not like ours. For us, it comes from outside. But here, God and His knowledge are one. It's the pasuk in Tehillim we say in the shir of Wednesday. Ki kel deos Hashem. Oh, we don't say that Wednesday. Kel deos Hashem. God is knowledge. In other words, knowledge is part of God's essence, not something apart. All right, the attributes of God, the midas Hashem, are known to us from slichos, yud gimel midos, Hashem Hashem kel, and really so those we discussed, but from racham v'charon on. So what are midos? A midah is a measurement. So the midos Hashem are the tools by which we measure or assess or evaluate God's involvement in the world, His interaction with mankind. So they are descriptions of the various ways, of the different ways that God's actions are perceived in the universe. That's Racham V'Chanun, Erech HaPayim, Rav Chesed, Emes, etc. It's worth adding, just so we should know, we can't entertain this area of attributes without mentioning it, but without elaborating too much, it's a very complicated area. The Rambam says in the first part of the Mora, Perek Nun Ches, 58, Da ki ta'arei Hashem yisbarach b'shlilus. Hu atoar amiti. Know that the descriptions of God in the negative, those are the true descriptions of God. And here the Rama posits his famous argument that God is only known through the negative, what he is not. From knowing what God is not, we can deduce something about what God is. But to say what God is inherently limiting. What in the world does this mean? So I'll give you an example. So Rambam explains that positive attributes describe just a portion of the entity, a part of the entity, and is therefore misleading. Whenever you say anything positive about something, you are evoking a comparison. It necessarily compares God to something else, and that can't be. So for example, to say God exists means that there's such a thing as existence, and God partakes of it. That is incorrect, because God is existence. So even to maintain God exists to the Rambam is an offensive notion, and an incorrect notion. God exists, meaning there's existence, and God partakes of that existence. That can't be, because God is existence. Or to say that God is one, echad, or that God is compassionate, necessarily and misleadingly compares God to other things that are one, or other entities that are compassionate, and that can't be. You should know, as a classical sense, I know. I mean, everyone understands Shema Yisrael, Hashem Echad, Hashem Echad, is God is one. But Hashem Echad really means God is unique. God is singular. Ato Echad, v'shimcha Echad, u'mika amcha Yisrael, goy Echad ba'aretz. Goy Echad ba'aretz can't mean we're the only nation on earth. There are many other nations on earth. So now you understand what it means. Ato Echad, you are unique. V'shimcha Echad, your name is unique. Umika amcha Yisrael goy echad ba'aretz. We are a unique people on earth, a singular nation, because we are bound to you. Now that's the Rambam, who of course a great philosopher, is very, very precise in his language. But on the other hand, as others have argued, to relate every attribute of God in the negative, well, you could say God is not corporeal. Fine. God is not plural. Fine. But to say God is not cruel is not such a compliment. If you say about someone, a person, lahavdil, that they're not cruel, you're not really praising them in any meaningful way. So some want to distinguish between attributes of action, like rachum v'chanun, in which the positive seems just to be a much more natural way to relate to God. What God does, he's compassionate, he's gracious, as opposed to attributes that relate to us what God is or who he is, in which the reference to the negative is going to be much more accurate. Oh, in summary, what is the importance of this knowledge, the Shemos Hashem, the Midos Hashem? So it certainly helps us in Kavana and Davening, like the Mechaber writes in Siman Hey in Archaim. And certainly understanding the names of God are critical to understanding different parts of the Torah, why Elohim is used here, Hashem is used there. But I think the main factor is just the knowledge of God, Das Hashem. And Das Hashem is such a fundamental mitzvah. Really, it's fundamental to understanding our place in God's world, what He demands of us, what it is that we are supposed to represent in the world. And of course, understanding the Shemos Hashem help us comprehend God's management of the world as well. So tonight was a little esoteric. Not that what's coming is not, maybe it's a little more relatable to us, but next time we'll take up part of our understanding of God's management of the world and the difficult concept of the existence of evil in the world. How can a God that is good allow evil to exist? What is the very nature of evil, of Ra? How do we understand it? All that will take up next time. I think next time, because the schedule is in 2 weeks from tonight. Okay, so I thank you all for coming, and Chodesh Tov, Chanukah Sameach as well.